Welcome to Zone Time, everybody. I'm Julian. Tic-Tac-Tomar's in the building. Avery's in the building. And Rune Srinivasan is back with us for a brand new episode of our illustrious show. Arun, thank you so much for tapping in with the boys.
Yeah, no worries, man. You're not big, man. I'm glad to show us.
Are you going to call out for the banning of the salary cap on this episode? That's your legacy now.
Is that? I mean, no, that's a terrible legacy to have.
I'm just kidding.
It's true, though. He's right.
A ban of the...
You're not wrong.
You're not wrong.
To a point.
Salary
to
cap
a point.
That's what we call a callback. But yeah, no, a salary cap being overrated. I mean, yeah, I think it's just a boring way to sort of evaluate players. Like, it's part of the job. You have to understand how salary caps work. I find it to be the least interesting part of covering hockey. Like, I'm not a GM. So pay good players what they're worth, man. That's all I'm trying to say here.
But to that point also, like, the salary cap isn't important, but it is. Like, if you're trying to be an NHL fan right now, you can't not understand the cap.
Yeah, right, of course.
Right? It's just like, oh, this player is playing poorly. Why can't they be benched? Well, you see, they make this much money, so they can't afford to have that much money in the bench. Okay, well, why can't they just call someone up? Well, you see, because the cap hit doesn't fit. So if they call that person up, you know what I mean? So it's like, now I feel like, I think like maybe 5 years ago, you could probably, not even, yeah, 5-10 years ago, you can get away without ever like caring about how much a player makes, unless you're just ripping on them. Like, oh, they make this much money and they only have like 4 goals. But now you're at a point where, like, if you're trying to be like a mid to casual fan, you kind of have to have some understanding of like your team's cap situation for the most part, which again, I think is a big testament as to why the salary cap sucks.
It's a good segue into the first thing I want to talk about on today's show. We're going to get to some World Cup of hockey, but we could just call it best on best. An update on that. just more discussion about what's going on in Columbus with Johnny Gaudreau and Patrick Laine. One thing I definitely want to get to, though, I wanted you guys to do this kind of contract comparison thing. And I'm very curious to see how you guys just kind of agree or disagree on this. I have two players and I have some stats that are accurate as of Monday. And I would love for you to point out to me who between these two should be making more money on their next contract. Is it player A, who's 27 years old, has 27 points in 17 games, is a pending unrestricted free agent, and plays on the wing? Or should you be paying the 25-year-old with 28 points in 18 games right now, is a pending RFA, and plays center? Which one of these two guys deserves more money on their next contracts?
Can I ask a clarifying question?
Depends on the question.
Is it who should make more or who will make more?
Who should make more is who should. I'm not going to get into who will make more money because the jury might be out on that. Let's stick with who should be making more money between those two players.
Very art versus science, Julian. I like this. I think I know who's player A is. I'm going
to
rock.
Let's not get into who is each player yet. Just tell me if A or B deserves more money on the next contract.
All right. I guess A, I would say.
Yeah, I would say A as well, just from the contract status of it all. Just because as a UFA, you're probably going to try to throw more money at said player to stay, as opposed to an RFA where you traditionally have more control over that player. So you can have like maybe a more sizable or at least a more cap manageable deal. Again, that has changed over the last 5 years where RFAs are saying, no, pay me. But I think based off of those two, like my focus would be on the contract status, and that would make the UFA make more than the RFA.
Avery, what do you pick?
Yeah, I'm going to go to the consensus. I'm going to go with A. Like Omar said, at least with B, there is at least some level of control of that player being an RFA. So I'm going to go with A as well.
Okay, well, I guess the RFA in this probably plays a role in maybe how you guys are answering. Maybe if we scrap the free agent status, I don't know. I also would be very curious what Sam would have to say about this. Player A in this scenario is William Nylander. Player B is Elias Pettersson.
Yep.
I'm paying Willie, man.
Yep.
Are we running this? Are we running the same episode back for the second straight week at the William Nylander Propaganda Hour? Let's go, man.
Yeah, just like put the next 15 minutes, just put like
the blue flame. Put the blue flame, as Omar suggested, around player A. We know what's happening. Yeah.
Every time I see blue flame, I just assume it's Omar be like, blue flame.
Yeah, that's what literally, yeah. And so people were like, blue flame. That people, some people in my mentions were like, oh, you know that means a fart, yeah? I'm like, okay, well, I'm not talking about that.
That
I'm
means
talking,
a what?
Apparently what a fart. Apparently it's slang for a fart.
Yeah, we can't do William Nylander.
Okay. I didn't know that at all.
Didn't know that.
But like, it's so funny because like now the reports are going out like from the latest 32 Thoughts is that the number has gone up. I'm like, duh.
Of course.
Of course.
Do y'all remember the time when like we were haggling? Well, we as in society, I'll say this, the royal we. We're talking about how if William Nylander makes $10 million, like, whoa, that's a lot of money.
This is what I'm talking about, man. It's the conservatism of the discussion that I think annoys me. I think I found it. The cool, bro, we're talking about like minute details. I guess you have to understand how it matters as a percentage of a cap. Obviously, there's gonna be some issues. I would say this, like our former colleague Justin Cuthbert, like raised a good point, like as it relates to the Nylander situation. Like maybe the Leafs have to eat like a 1 year of their contention window. Maybe. Mm-hmm. And maybe fill it with entry-level contracts. They finally have developed some young talent for the first time. In the post Matthews Marner era, so to speak, with Fraser Minton, who got a bit of a
Matthews Marner era. Aren't they still in?
No, in the sense of like there's been an 8 year developmental gap, right? You wouldn't consider Easton Cowan or Fraser Minton their age group,
sure. Player. Yeah,
so that's why
recognize all that.
So they finally have developed some talent after that sort of window, right? There where there's a hiatus, fill in some entry level contracts, figure it out later. Like, I don't know, I feel like part of this is sort of to be like now, Toronto fans. Like, you should enjoy, like, your new toy. It's like, enough with this. In any other market, this would be almost a non-starter. Like, pay William Nylander what he wants when he's playing this well and figure out the rest later.
Shouldn't Vancouver be having this same thought, too? Elias Pettersson is playing to his potential.
They should. For sure they should.
Dude should be made. As of this recording, tied at the league lead for points with Quinn Hughes and JT Miller, which, well, at least they pay JT Miller already. But Elias Pettersson playing to his potential. Out here bawling. I got to watch a little bit of that game against the Flames with all those guys in the power play just moving the puck around.
Yeah.
Dynamic, electric. You can actually be comfortable building around this guy.
Yeah.
Like, I know it's different positions, different players, but like, man, that's a guy who deserves the bag.
But like,
and I think that's a guy who should be making north of 10. Yeah.
But like for me, like what Nylander and Pettersson have been doing this year is what every GM wants their star players to do. Mm-hmm. Right, like there's a reason why the whole talk about like, oh, you don't want to go into it to this year, you know, without a contract, because for the most part players wilt because there's more pressure. But what you want is you want your stars to embrace that pressure, stomp on that pressure, and perform anyway. So if I'm the Canucks in the Leafs, I'm looking at what Nylander and Pettersson are doing respectfully. I'm saying, yeah, these are players I want on my team, because when the games are at the highest stakes ever, I know that they're going to perform, because they played in these markets, in these respective Canadian markets, without a deal, and they are leaders on their team and in the league through and in throughout. So like Nylander, for example, I was going into this thinking, okay, you know what, maybe like an 8.5 would be cool. Maybe like the Timo Meier deal would be cool. And like, as the season's going, and people are saying like double digit, whatever. Like at this point, he's proven that he can play. If I'm his agent, I'm like, maybe before we could entertain 9 and 9.5. Now, what's Marner's cap hit? We're starting there. Like you can't tell me that Marner has been better than Nylander this year. And also, when you look at the playoffs, Nylander has definitely been better than Marner in most of, if not every single instance. So again, they're doing what you want them to do. They're performing when the stakes are at its highest, or the pressure will be there. So like, this is a good thing. This is a huge thing. And I don't know. I don't understand trying to make it a negative. I really don't. Especially for the Canucks. Like, if you're the Canucks and you're for some reason iffy on whether you can build around Pettersson, like Julian, to your point, like you've gotten like A, B, C, all this evidence to prove that he is the person you can and probably should build your team around.
Absolutely.
You know, look at the contract talk. How much? I know we can't scrap the cap, but how much fun would the NHL be if we had an MLS style DP rule where you could pay three or four players whatever you wanted per roster.
Yeah, exactly.
How cool would that
honestly, be? Honestly. Then every team can have a core four and not just us.
Yeah, because again, guys. I mean,
wow.
Because, like, Pedersen and Nylander, they should be making more. They should be making $15 million. McDavid should make $25 million per year. Like,
probably more.
Mm-hmm. I guess the only. Yeah, I guess the 30 only thing, mil. Yeah, the only counterpoint to that, I guess, is just, you know, oh, what if owners step up and say, oh, well, what about owners with deeper pockets who could afford to pay for these players?
Then Marty wants to do your job, Marty.
Thank you.
Like, I'm sorry. Like, I'm not going to be like, oh, my God, Marty Walsh works in Joe Biden's administration. Oh, my God, our labor hero. Do your job, Marty. Like, he seemed like a cool guy. I don't think he would even, like, take issue with this. Like, when I met him in person, he knew.
Players won't.
Players won't. But this idea that, oh, what is – that's his job. His job is to be representative of the players' interests. Like – so, I mean, look, and I think he would say the same thing too, right? He doesn't seem like he'd back down from this sort of approach either. So if everyone's what the NHLPA is going to do, all right, do your job, Marty. Have we set the bar so low that we can't imagine the NHLPA doing anything? Maybe that's where we're at.
I think so, yeah.
Like, another thing too is, like, it, like, one thing that, that I've noticed, especially in the last, like, 3 or so years, maybe it happens more often, and I think maybe I'm only noticing it because the Leafs have been doing it, but there have been a lot of, hey, you're on a PTO and training camp, but you're definitely going to get a deal, but we have to wait to sort a cap up before you get a deal. Like, thankfully, that's worked out for a lot of players. Like, it worked out for Zach Aston-Reese last year, worked out for Noah Gregor this year. But, like, what if you're a player who's told that? Like, hey, we're going to sign you to a one-year deal, but, like, we have to sort out our cap so far. So we'll sign you to a PTO so you can be around the team, learn the system, yada, yada. And then when our cap situation is set up, then we'll sign you to a deal. Okay, so what happens if I get injured in training camp, I can't play, and I don't have a deal? Because, again, teams can't work out their cap. Like, and we're talking about, like, league minimum deals here. So, to that point, like, teams need to be able to figure out and work out their money structure. And in the last 5 years, it's been so flipping difficult. And, yeah.
Another point to that scenario, though.
Yeah.
Could you imagine saying you're going to just full-on commit to a guy on, like, a one-year, even if it's just a one-year deal at, like, $850,000, and then they get injured, and then you kind of just have them there when you could have maybe freed up that spot for a younger player or called someone else up? Or
yep, that's true.
I mean, you could have them on injured reserve. I mean, could you? It's one thing if they're on long-term injured reserve. It's a whole other thing if they're just on injured reserve and you just kind of have them around there.
Yeah. I guess that's true, too. I just, like, I just think, like we spend so much time as fans, as members of the media, like, just the talking about the cap, and, like, imagine if cap friendly wasn't a thing. Bless that site. We would have no idea what teams can and can't do. We even trying to predict trades at the deadline. Oh yeah, it'd be good if this team could use this player. Like, but they don't have much money, so they'd have to send a player this way. Oh, but that wouldn't work out. So we have to throw in a third team so they can retain this percentage. Like, it's just all these extra details, which, like, yeah, again, if you're a hardcore fan, that's great. But if you're just a regular person who just likes the game, you don't care about that stuff. And then things happen with your team that you can't explain that only happen because of the cap. Like, think of so many trades that have happened that have been specifically because of the cap. What team is Shea Weber on right now?
Arizona.
Thank you. Ask any person, they probably like, oh, I thought he retired. No.
It is Arizona.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he's still in Arizona.
It is Arizona, because he was in Vegas at one point, and then his contract got flipped to Arizona.
There's so many things that just distract from the main conversation, which should be the play on the ice. And then that's not even talking about officiating, which that could be a completely different different topic. No,
Omar, don't waver off track here. You're absolutely just like,
I get Omar's point though. Like, the salary cap has become too much of a focal point for teams.
I think, like, listen, man, like, it's exactly what you said. Like, look, we have to understand it to do our jobs, whether we're media fans, however we want to classify ourselves. You have to know it, but, like, and maybe it's back to the art versus science thing. Like, if you look at William Nylander as a broader, just, like, being outside of sports, how do you want to appreciate him? Do you want to appreciate him by the minutia of what his upcoming contract's going to be? Or do you want to look at the art of this and be like, watching a player like this in this form is why we came to love hockey in the first place?
Mm-hmm. Like, do you want to appreciate him for him being able to go on interviews and wear a tank top?
That's what I'm saying. Like, I mean, We talk about his league lacking personality all the time, and he exemplifies it. But yeah, like, look, we have to know how the cap works to do our job. It's just the least interesting prism to view a player.
That's fair, I guess. I mean, everyone in our jobs sort of has to do that. But back to Nylander and his personality for a second.
Yeah.
Seemed like he was having the time of his life.
No, he was a star.
Over the last time. He actually, like, he carried himself like a star. Mm-hmm. Which, I mean, it's one thing to do that in Toronto. It's a whole other thing to go back to your home country and do that. I have to say, like, as someone completely out of market and only knows about him as, like, the player for what he does on the ice, like, I was a bit, like, I was pleasantly surprised at how he was swept up into the spotlight. And even at the end of it all, scoring that OT winner against Minnesota, like, he owned that week, essentially. And now everyone, and like, you know, imagine everyone who watched that game could appreciate him for the personality and star that he is. If only the global games weren't regionally blocked out.
The league is, the NHL is not serious. They're not serious. Like, I can't believe they had a global series. And the only way you could watch it is if you were in the Ottawa region. That makes no... Again, then that's for the first game.
Games may have been national. I don't remember what. But for the most part, they were regional games.
I don't understand them. I don't understand. And also, here's another thing, too. If your team was not involved in the Global Series, did you know what was happening? I don't remember
I definitely think that there are people who felt that way. They might have paid as much attention to that as they might have done the Grey Cup this weekend.
Yeah.
And that's not shade to the CFL. It's just, it is what it is.
When Avery texted in the group chat about this black guy, like, I thought he was kidding. Like, I thought he was, like, doing a bit. Honestly.
No, we, like, in, I mean, clearly there's an Alberta and an Ontario representation going on right now. The Albertans in the chat were not able to watch on Sportsnet. In any of these games.
Gosh.
No, and like,
if it wasn't for Omar's tweets, I wouldn't know what was going on.
It's ridiculous, and because when the NFL has games in Germany and England, not blacked out, everybody can watch them. When MLB goes and plays in England, everybody can watch them. When the NBA does games, people know when NBA is having games in France, in England, in Mexico. The NHL, how do you make a global game a regional thing? That, to me, and you talk about, you want to grow the game. How does that grow the game? Certain games should be blackout exempt. Certain games. Stadium Series, Heritage Classic, Global Series, All-Star Game. These games should be blackout exempt all year long.
Yeah, I can agree more. Like, I'm thinking tonight, like, just even outside NHL, like, after we finish recording, I'm going to watch the Kansas City Chiefs play the Philadelphia Eagles. That game is going to, like, maybe break the U.S., like, television record. Like, I can't. Can you imagine the NFL is like, no, you don't live in the American Midwest?
It's like, no.
I want to watch Taylor Swift's boyfriend.
For any angle, if you're interested in the game, whether it's for the Swifties or you really want to break down the Eagles 5-on-5, whatever the case may be, like, that would be an insane proposition. So, I don't even know. I don't have the words. Like, I can't even fathom why these games would be blacked out. I guess we have Toronto privilege, Omar, but I have no, you know, it's crazy, man. Like,
it's just, go agree.
And the league wants to put games now in Mexico City. You know, black those games out too? You know, black out the Mexico City game possibly next year? That would be asinine.
Yeah. it contradicts the purpose of the Global Series. At least one of my understandings of the Global Series, right? Is that you're trying to put hockey in more spaces. You're trying to put NHL hockey in more spaces so more people get opportunities to watch it. Yes, it's great. It's great for the people who are there and watching it. But again, it's also a different experience watching it at home as well. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know. I thought it was like seeing how the benches dipped into further into the defensive zone.
Yeah,
like,
that was weird.
Yeah, weird, but again, just a more experience. And it's like the NHL doing this, you're just creating more, again, barriers and divides amongst fans, which makes no flipping sense. Again, like, I don't know why it's so complicated. I don't know. Maybe there's like other things that I don't understand. But like, if I'm a fan of a team, I should be able to turn on the TV and watch my team play, regardless of where I am.
I want to go take it one step further. Yeah. If I'm a fan of the league, I want to be able to watch the league.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
I like the players being as good as they are, the personalities, they're trying to build them up, or at least some people are making the call that they should be built up a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
Shouldn't we be in a position where, like, I should be able to watch more out-of-market games? Like, I would love that. I don't want to have to subscribe to Sportsnet Plus and get more off of that. And definitely, I don't want to be in a position where, like, I have a subscription in some way, and I'm still blacked out. Like, like I had to put out some tweet about how, like, I can't watch it legally, and all of my mentions are like, hey, player, you gotta, here's this link over here. One dude straight up put up a tweet where it's just, like, if you read every, like, third or fourth word, it's like, you put it together, you get a URL for an illegal stream. I should not have to be at that point. You should, if you're paying for TSN Plus or Sportsnet Plus or NHL Center Ice or whatever, maybe NHL Center Ice is a bit of a different story, but ESPN Plus in the States, you should not be punished for, you know, subscribing and contributing to economy or whatever and not being able to watch these games.
Yeah.
Why I gotta go on hockeytv.whatever to watch this game?
And give your laptop a virus trying to watch the league.
Put some malware on your laptop trying to watch the Sabres.
Bro, I don't want to watch games and then have ads pop up be like, local singles in your area. I don't need that.
Like, that's why I appreciate at least the Coyotes and Golden Knights putting their games now this year on Rabbit Ear channels. Now, so you know, we're going to put our games back on local channels now. You can watch every game now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, at least. Anyway, we've exhausted a lot on that. This was a topic that was supposed to just be about William Nylander getting paid. We've turned it into why
pay him.
Yes, I agree.
Also, tank top season. Let's go. Tank
top. No, hey.
let's go.
Avery very closely disrobed himself on this program.
Oh my god.
Yeah. I presume. Yeah. What I don't know about the idea of doing a no tarps on show. I don't like that idea. I don't think the people at Yahoo would appreciate that idea, and I think it'd be very off brand for Zone Time. Let's talk about Columbus. We've kind of touched on them before. It seems like it's still not getting better. Maybe by the time you get this, maybe things do get a little better, maybe not, but Johnny Gaudreau not having himself a good time there. I think he only had like 2 points, through the 9-game losing streak that the Jackets have had to this point. Patrick Laine doesn't play in the last game. Seems like he's not going through an easy time too. What do you do with these two star players on this team that fine, maybe your expectations vary compared to the rest of the division, but they are not themselves right now. What do you do with those guys?
I have one suggestion.
Sure, why not?
You can stop playing Patrick Laine at center.
No idea.
Is there? You know what? I just want to say something here. Like, I think Patrick Laine has shown too much in his career to ever be labeled a bust. Mm-hmm. I think as a number two overall pick, he has, especially when he came out the league, he was really good.
Yeah,
it's just, but it has just been so sad and so disheartening to see him be a shell of himself for the last how many years as a player. He does not have that same dynamic presence that we thought he would have once he burst out the gate. Like, we should be talking about, I wanted a world where Matthews and Laine would be compared to each other forever. And they would be neck and neck.
Laine was being compared to Ovechkin in his draft year. And
he was supposed to be
even,
like the next
even,
great goal scorer.
Yeah. And he was
like it.
Like, the goals were there, man. I remember, I think it was when he was still in Winnipeg. He had like 5 goals in their global series, like in Finland or something. Like, he went off. Like, it was at the point where he was in that status of like 30 goals being a down year. Like, that's how good he was. And I think what Columbus needs to do is figure out why he is not there anymore. Like, aside from just like the usage, the comfort, but like, you don't just forget how to score goals. So like, they need to sit down and have like an honest conversation, because like, Laine can't be another player that, I'm not to say that Columbus has given up on players before, but like, he's worth not giving up on, if that makes sense.
No, it does.
Yeah.
He just strikes me as a guy. But like, when he was like that prospect and that guy, like, he seemed like a guy who was like a confidence player, right? He scored in bunches, and you know, he would have games where he would go large stretches with disappearing, and then he'd score four goals in a game. I think that sort of the magic's gone, where like that streaky scoring is gone. That's what you do with him. Like, I don't know, but he does oddly sort of strike me as a guy that maybe like it just is a change of environment's needed. Like, he hasn't really played on great teams, let's call it what it is. And he seems like a type of guy that at the deadline would be coveted by a ton of good teams and be like, look, we're finally going to put you in a healthy environment. We'll get you a puck retrieval specialist as one of your wingers. We'll get you like a defensively responsible center who will just feed you at the top of the circle. And that's all you got to do. But I think anytime he's been asked to be like, well, look, you're not scoring like a top six forward. You got to play now in a bottom.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Role, he's just not like, he has no interest in doing so.
Yeah,
especially when the results aren't there either. So I don't know what you do. And honestly, like, the other part of it is, and this is, you know, might be a little bit unfair, but you don't really want to make a toxic environment for Adam Fantilli, who's outscoring both those guys, or Kent Johnson, or the rest of the young players in the organization. The really good parts, right? You already have sort of a toxic situation with your older players and maybe the 2/3 of the roster that aren't going to be there for long term. Really, Columbus's goal is just to preserve a healthy environment for Adam Fantilli and the rest of their young core. And, you know, yeah, this is almost immaterial at this point what Patrick Laine and Johnny Gaudreau's feelings are.
Yeah. I'll say this about Johnny Gaudreau too. Just, it doesn't seem like he's himself either. I think he only has maybe at least he has 7 points, at least through this point in the year. But
yeah,
something just doesn't seem right with him. Just doesn't have that same level. He's not at that level. I just hope they find it, because Columbus, I get it. They're not supposed to be this great team, but at least for those two players up top, like, I'm just hoping for their sakes, like, they just figure something out, because the league's not as fun when those two players are not good. You know,
how much do you put this on the coaching staff? Because for me, it's just like,
what else are you supposed to do?
I guess, but like,
Babcock was your coach like 3 months ago. I mean, so like
Pascal Vincent is doing as good as he can in that situation, I would think, mm-hmm, right?
I think it's
like
more on Kekin Laine than it is on Pascal Vincent.
Yes,
sure.
You know,
Juan Avery.
Because what, he's been there what now? It feels like 83 years, and he still has only one playoff series win. Like, if this core doesn't win in Columbus now, like, at what point do you put on the GM in Columbus? Because they've had older chances now. You've had Laine, you got Fantilli, you've got your stars. And if in 2 or 3 years Columbus is still spinning their tires as a 81, 82 point team, mm-hmm, when does he go?
I think off of the Mike Babcock thing, I still thought Jarmo Kekalainen should have been gone right after that. Yeah, and I would think that if Columbus has a bad year, I think the time would be right to let him go at the end of the year. If you're willing to, I can understand to a certain point that you don't want any more changes after the Babcock thing. You want some sort of stability. But once that season's over, you need to figure out what's going on with your team going forward. And I think that might mean Kekalainen eating dust, unfortunately.
And then from that sense, maybe you can get a person who has another set of eyes on the team, and then you start to figure out, okay, maybe there are more complements that we need. Like, yes, we have like young pieces, but maybe these young pieces just aren't working together. And I think we've seen that like in many instances across the league. So like, I'm looking at Laine, for example. Laine looks like a player who just needs to play with someone who just passes. passes, yep. passes, and Arun, to your point earlier, where he's not relied on to do things that he's, I don't know, for lack of better words, is not good at, especially now. Like I don't know. It looks like a confidence thing, especially from the sense of just, like, not having that same foot. Like, we're talking about a player who used to, like, go to games in, like, ski sunglasses and, like, talk about playing Fortnite, like, openly. Like, we're talking about, like...
I mean, to your point, the style still... He still could do that. The style still there. The confidence just isn't at that level.
Exactly. So they just need to put him in positions to get that confidence back. And literally, I think at this point, you just play him with someone and you just say, hey, just get open. I think once the puck starts going in for him, like, I can see it now where you're, like, one random goal, like, off, like, a stick, knee, whatever, and then he just starts to go off. And I think he just needs that one goal to go in, and then it'll change. Like, I remember a couple of years ago when, like, I don't know if it was either Sagan or Kadri that, like, led the league in, like, most posts being hit. Like, I think it was Kadri. I think it was Kadri at the time, and just, like, had the lowest shooting percentage. Like,
I love that that's a stat.
Yeah, I know, right? And then literally all it took was that one goal to go in, and then he just, you know, went on a run. I think just Laine just needs that one shot, just that one instance of the light going on, and then maybe that can be a game changer for him. And then if they're committed to playing Laine and Gaudreau together, then Laine going off can help Gaudreau go off, and then maybe you're looking at a different type of year.
For the last, like, however many minutes we've been talking about Blue Jackets, I just been thinking about how terrifying it'd be if, like, the Boston Bruins got Patrick Laine. Like, he would be perfect on that team.
The thing is that's not what they need, though.
That's not even that, but, like, you know, Columbus should be really just trying to be trading any of their professional assets into prospects and start it over, Adam Fantilli notwithstanding, right? Or Kent Johnson notwithstanding. Like, the rest of the guys are more or less expendable. And I think, like, that really is, like, the only way out. Like, I mean,
you're going to have to retain salary on some of those guys, too. Like, Patrick Laine at 8.7 mil.
That is, like, a very 2 more years after this one, I think.
Something like that. Like, that's not an easy contract to take in.
No,
I guess not. But I think other teams have, you know, the win now mentality could get him some suitors, I think. I don't know. I mean, either that or what? He rides the bench in Columbus, like, and continues to play, like, checked out hockey. Like, I did a quick scan on Natural Stat Trick before we recorded, and, like, he's not even in any of, like, seven of their most productive forward, like, their three-man forward groups. Like, he's not contributing anywhere. So it's just, like, you know, at some point he may end up having more value to a team that way. Like, I don't know. I mean, I'm sorry to be so bleak. I don't know what the answer is. And again, this whole year for Columbus has to be about protecting the future for Adam Fantilli. Like, nothing, just keep him happy, you know, make sure that the toxicity of losing doesn't get to him. I mean, he's never really played on a losing team. I mean, he played at the University of Michigan, and then, like, you know, throughout his, like, you know, his USHL career, like, same deal, right? Like, this kid's never experienced a losing environment before. So really it's about protect Adam Fantilli at all costs and then figure out the rest later.
Okay, so last week the salary cap was overrated. Protect Adam Fantilli at all costs. That is the big banner headline.
That's the Blue Jackets. That's the Blue Jackets mission this year. That's it.
For Arun.
They have one goal. That's it. They got one goal.
I want to get to this next topic real quick here. Discussion about international hockey. I know in our notes I wrote World Cup of Hockey. It's probably because in my brain I was thinking about the fact that the league eventually does want to get to a point where you have that every 2 years with the Olympics kind of going on and off. But in the meantime, as we as a hockey society try to get back to best on best, what do you think of this idea that's being thrown around here? I believe Elliot Friedman talked about it on 32 Thoughts. What about a week-long event where you could have four, maybe six, but probably four teams, some games in North America, some games probably in Europe. You could have a four-team setup with, like, Canada, USA, Sweden, Finland, and I guess, like, the best two teams out of that play in some kind of final. It's not really a World Cup of hockey. It feels more like a Four Nations Cup. But, like, since we haven't had any best-on-best of anything since, like, 2016 with the World Cup, would you guys be okay with this format, something like this?
I guess like at this point, again, like, you, as you said, Julian, like, it's since 2016 is the last time you had anything, and ironically the best thing to come out of that was a team that wasn't even a nation. Team North America was
and
sick.
And people don't want that at all, which is that like, blows my mind.
No,
like,
man.
What?
Team North America was sick. That was such.
Yes.
At first, I was like, that's kind of a dumb idea. Then, like, looking at the roster and seeing them play, like, that team was fun. Their goal song was that kid song. Like, they just embraced it.
Opposite of adults.
Yeah. Yeah, that was cool. But, like, again, at this point, it's just like beggars can't be choosers. I guess is what
beggars can't
do.
Be choosers. I get it. I get it.
No, sir.
Yeah.
I'd rather revive the Ryder Cup idea, which came about in 2016. I'd rather include all the European North American players, go to London, best of five series, North America versus Europe. Do that. At least no one gets left out.
Bring back the former All-Star game format. That was so sick.
Yeah.
What if we did like North America versus Europe as like a, yeah, why don't they just do that for a week?
Because
like a best of five.
Because it's smart and it'd be fun.
It was planned for 2018 and they got dropped and no one knows why. It was going to happen.
That's a cool idea.
That would be pretty cool. I don't know. One other idea that I know I've discussed with Ian Mendez on another show I do. What if, like, if you do Canada versus USA,
yeah,
but you have the men's team part of it and the women's team part of it.
That'd be sick.
And, like, each of those teams are playing against each other competing for wins, like best of seven or something like that.
Treat it like a test cricket series. Perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just, like, four teams, I'm like, okay, it's kind of okay. I mean, any tournament without, like,
I think the Canada-US angle works, at least that it wouldn't draw sort of the outrage from other countries if they were omitted, right? If you just build it as, look, we need to do something, you know, USA Hockey and Hockey Canada put it together, get mad at them, yell at them, and figure out the rest later. Like, that could work, and if, especially getting the women's team there, where there is such an appetite for that rivalry as well, like... Mm-hmm. You know, frankly, that rivalry would be like, yeah, it'd be co-headlining rivalry and no one else could really get upset from that aspect of it. I really think it's just let's talk about it. As it was worded, the geopolitical situation from Russia, right? Yeah. That is really the topic that everyone is dancing around, right? I mean, the tournament should work. And really the primary complaint would be that Russia is still leading an offensive against Ukraine, so they can't be included. I think that's the reason why there is such, you know, because why else would we be reticent to a four nations cup style tournament, right?
Here's a question. And actually, we talked about this like, well, I want to say like a week or two ago. Is anyone like going into the idea of this tournament happening? Are we all like 100% confident that Canada wins?
No, definitely not.
USA wins.
I think U.S. wins.
USA wins. If Russia was allowed to perform, if Russia was allowed to be in a tournament, it's one of those two countries winning, as far as I'm concerned. You see, look at Russia's goaltending
That's what it is right there.
Ilya Sorokin, Igor Shesterkin, Andrei Vasilevsky could be their number three goalie if they partook in a tournament today.
And then
USA could have a goaltending stable of Jake Oettinger. Connor Hellebuck could be there.
Yeah.
Thatcher Demko could be there. Jeremy Swayman's part of like the best goaltending tandem in the league. He might not even make that top three.
Yeah.
I'm missing somebody.
And then for
we're definitely missing a lot. John Gibson.
Yeah.
The States have so many goaltenders.
Let's do this exercise right now. Yeah. Who starts in goal for Canada? Who are the three goalies?
Aiden Hill.
Damn, I'm surprised he was the first name you guys thought of.
Yeah.
Well, would it be what? Carter Hart? No. Marc-Andre Fleury? Like
Avery.
By 2025, too old, I think, to be a part of this.
Avery, yeah, he might be.
Is Stuart Skinner Canadian?
Yes, he is.
Yeah.
He's Edmontonian. I could see him getting.
So you don't want Logan Thompson. You don't want Logan Thompson. You don't want
Logan Thompson.
You don't want. You don't want Jordan Binnington, 2019 Stanley Cup champion Jordan Binnington.
Nah. Avery, who do you think? Who are our goalies?
I could definitely see. I could see it being Aiden Hill, Logan Thompson, Stuart Skinner. I could see those three. That's my idea.
That does not inspire that much.
We're
confidence.
Doomed. We're doomed.
That's what I think. That's what I think they're gonna go with.
7-5 win 7-5. Just no defense.
We know comments on Binnington, but he probably wouldn't get added to that roster. Like he's having low key a pretty good year, and he's won a cup. Hockey Canada probably be like, we have to make one of the three.
He might start on that team.
He might.
Here's
he might start on that team and like get into fights with everybody in this tournament.
The only thing with Jordan Binnington is that if this is an IWHF tournament, you can't bring him because he's going to get free suspended after the tournament. If you're playing NHL rules, they'll then fine. There's no penalty to NHL rules for fighting, but or they're not the punishment isn't an injection. But a week long tournament, if Binnington goes full Jordan Binnington and he's done for us a tournament, oof, that's not a good look.
Yeah, if you're Team Canada, you lock off every water bottle away from that man.
Oh goodness, man.
You're not allowed, like you if he wants water, you like get someone from the bench to like get him water.
So this tournament's 2025, right?
Something supposed like that, yeah.
So McDavid, Crosby.
Crosby might be there in yeah. I mean, he's still having a really good year.
He'll still make the
Mitch Canada. Marner.
Connor Bedard.
Yeah. Hmm?
Bedard
makes that team.
Yeah, I guess.
He'll be there. He'll
yeah,
be there.
He makes that Bedard team. Make I guess.
Like top 12?
Oh, yeah.
Hmm? Ahead of who?
Ahead of that's what I'm saying. Ahead playing, of
you're putting him at center. Are you putting him at center?
I'm putting him on the wing probably.
Putting him on the wing. For sure. Yeah, man.
He'll be among your top nine.
I think probably Braden Point makes the team, definitely. I guess I'm focusing on forwards here.
Stamkos might be.
I don't know about
that.
Like Stamkos and Tavares, I don't think.
Fight for the final spots would be crazy.
Yeah, like Tavares. I don't think. I don't know if Tavares makes the team.
Well, we know Cale Makar on defense makes that team.
Oh Devontae's
too. So
you might be able to get a Cale Makar Devin Toews pairing.
Yeah, that would be 100% be my top pairing for Canada.
Yeah,
and then you have Ryan Adam Pellick and Pollock in the with the. I mean, you could do that with the Islanders.
Yeah,
possibly.
Possibly. I don't know. I'm sure you could do better.
Pellick's more of a lock than Ryan Pollock is. That's for sure.
Absolutely is. Alex Pietrangelo might be your number one defenseman.
Probably.
Drew Doughty is having a really good year again. Like, he's had two really good years again. Like,
Dale's your number one. Alex Pietrangelo is somewhere in that mix.
Shea Theodore's back in the mix.
Yeah.
Like,
yo, man, we're screwed. I can rifle off the names of Matthews, Eichel, Jack Hughes, Quinn Hughes,
Kachuk.
Worst man.
Team USA on defense is like, USA, like Adam Fox,
yeah.
Charlie McAvoy,
yeah.
Quinn Hughes. Like, yeah. That's like your Jacob defense. Slavin.
Yeah, like
Jacob Slavin. What?
If you put Slavin and Fox out there, good luck getting fucked back. Like, yeah, like,
never see the fucking man.
Yeah.
USA.
You know what?
Yeah.
Canada would never do it, but my thinking, it's week long tournament. I just want to see in this tournament one game, Cale Makar playing forward.
No, one game.
We're already breaking out the SOS lineups. That's how low the
penalty is.
But also, if they're doing that, then Canada down bad.
It's a week long made up. It's a made-up tournament. Who cares?
Just imagine.
What do you mean, who cares? If Canada loses to USA,
it's a it doesn't made-up matter if it's the nations. Olympics
or if it's a week-long four nations sham of a tournament. We're talking about that for a week. Yep. We go have a whole hockey
elimination,
game. Hockey
elimination
fallen
game.
Far down our
elimination
list of
game.
In this
it's
country.
McCarr, McDavid, Marner. I would scream laughing.
Yeah, there would be an emergency zone time the next day.
Yo!
Literally. Did you
people would be calling for John Cooper's head.
I think John Cooper's the coach?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah,
probably.
Because they overthink this tournament.
He's the smartest man in hockey. He has to be.
John Cooper's the head coach of this team. Yeah. Absolutely.
Without question.
No question.
Yeah.
That's going to be a fun discussion.
What? Who do you want there, bro? I mean, Bruce Cassidy is probably on that staff.
No, not as far as like the coaching staff, but like just like overall, like who's on Team Canada?
Man,
I think it's
going to
be
should do for a
I think it's
going to
be younger than we think. It's going to be older, or it's going to be younger.
It'll be younger on the forward side and older on the defense side.
Yeah,
probably.
Yeah,
that could make sense.
Mm-hmm.
That might be something we should do for a future episode where we all try to make our own team,
make our best,
like our own Team Canada roster.
Yeah,
it's no guarantee that Crosby will be there or Stamkos by 2025. They could be retired by then. It could be done.
Crosby is guaranteed, but Stamkos.
Yeah. I think Crosby, as long as he still plays at a high level. I mean, actually, scrap that. If Crosby wants to go to the Olympics or whatever tournament, he can.
Yeah,
go.
He'll go. If he wants,
he wants to
if
go,
he wants
which
to.
I mean, he could very well want to go. He might not.
Yeah,
if Crosby wants to go, they'll give him the C. Like he still has that cachet.
That's another thing too. He would get the C.
He would.
Mm, yeah.
if he doesn't go, then, you know, then it's probably Connor McDavid, I guess. But, like, you know, he's so still esteemed as, like, the guy of his generation that, yeah, he'd be a lock.
And if by the way, you finish your rune, and I'll make my point. I cut you off near the end.
No. I was just ranting honors.
If this tournament happens,
yeah,
that's going to be the unless like, there's a world championship I've missed out on, that's going to be the first time we see Connor McDavid play for Canada at the senior men's level. Is there a world championship that I'm missing? That, because that can't be true.
Not that I can think of.
No.
I don't know.
Because at the World Cup, he didn't play for Canada. He played for Team North America.
Yeah.
And he was on the World Junior team, obviously. But yeah, I don't know if he went to any of the World Championships. Actually, maybe he went to at least one of them.
I feel like
he went to at least one of them.
My camera just glitched out.
Hang on.
Okay, we'll figure that out here. And then we'll wrap up because I know we got to run out of time.
What is crazy to Johnny?
Oh, wait, no, okay.
Yeah, he was on the 2018.
He won a gold medal in 2016 with Canada. Okay.
Yeah.
Phew. Okay. Wow. Could you imagine if we had not gotten that point? Wow.
Yeah, no kidding.
The one thing I did stumble upon today while researching the last World Cup, Johnny Gaudreau was Team North America's leading scorer.
Yes.
How times have changed.
Man, that team, McDavid, Matthews, Gaudreau, MacKinnon, Riley, I think Braden Point was on that team. Mm-hmm.
On Team North America, I don't think so.
Yeah.
Was he?
John Gibson.
Braden
Point? No, Braden Point was my bad. No, he was too old.
He'd be a little too old for that, I think.
Who else?
Yeah, John looking Gibson
for the Team North America Gibson roster? Is that what we're trying to think of here?
Yeah.
Let's see if I could find it. And then
Eichel, I think, was on that team.
Yes, he was.
Yeah. That team's stacked. Oh my goodness.
Like,
bro, this team, like, the head, you know what's wild? The head coach of that team was Todd McClellan, and his assistants were John Cooper, Peter DeBoer, Dave Tippett, and Jay Woodcroft.
Yeah, that's a loaded staff.
That's a
loaded team. And then, like, they had, like, got John Gibson, Connor Hellebuck, Matt Murray was on that team.
That makes sense.
This is when Matt Murray was killing it with the Penguins. Yeah. Jake Gostisbehere, Aaron Ekblad, Seth Jones, Ryan Murray. Wow, Ryan Murray. Colton Parayko, Morgan Riley, Jacob Trouba, Sean Couturier, Jonathan Drouin, Jack Eichel, you're right. Johnny Gaudreau, Dylan Larkin, Nathan MacKinnon, Austin Matthews, McDavid, JT Miller, Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, Brandon Saad, Mark Scheifele, and Vinny Trocheck.
What a fascinating snapshot.
Sean Monahan was supposed to be on that team, but he was injured.
Just like it's a nice time capsule of what hockey was like 7 years ago.
Yeah, it's no funny. Kidding.
It's funny how, like, except for John Cooper, that coaching staff was Oilers coaches past and present and future.
McClellan,
Woodcroft, Tippett.
Oh, man.
Yes.
It was a prophecy. So it was prophesied.
And one of the two GMs was Peter Chiarelli. This is basically like Edmonton Oilers lights.
The joke still is last several generations to think that they, you know, that the Oilers are just Bob Nicholson's Rolodex is still carries on.
Oh, and my goodness.
Fun fact, it came out that before the Oilers hired Dallas Eakin, who they did interview? John Cooper.
And that didn't hire him. Hired like ever. He's so good. Oh my God. It was between those two?
Aikens and John Cooper.
Man.
Tough look, man.
Damn, that sucks.
That's tough.
Damn. No shade to Dallas Eakins. Nice guy.
You could have had
John Cooper on that team.
Damn.
On that note, that's gonna do it for this week's edition of Zone Time. Arun, thank you for tapping in. Thank you, Omar. Thank you, Avery. And thank you to whoever watched the episode or listened to the episode, however you consume podcasts. Subscribe to our show. Check out Yahoo Sports NHL for more great content. And we'll be back next week with a brand new episode of our great show. Peace.
Hey, William Nylander.